MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Roni Chanduri, economist for Africa at the Coface Group. Roni, appreciate the time. A recent report you put out had a really stark stat for South Africa. Per capita GDP in 2025 is below the 2007 levels. It really is a country, an economy that has failed to live up to the expectations of 20 years ago.
Yes. When South Africa joined the BRICS, like in 2010, you know, there were hopes that this country would continue to expand at a fast pace. And really, like, it was, you know, with India, China, Russia, It was supposed to be one of these beacons, right, of the emerging world. So basically, there are many reasons behind it. But as you said, in the report that I wrote, I was looking to find kind of the fundamental reasons that could explain why South Africa has underperformed, because it has basically underperformed every other emerging economy. And so my idea was to say, well, obviously, there are elements linked to the global economic cycles because South Africa is a very open economy, very open to trade, and also very well integrated into financial networks. So obviously, it suffered a lot from the great financial crisis. But all the other emerging economies also went through similar crises, right? So this meant that basically there was something in the engines of South African growth that have been failing to work, and as you said, like for around two decades. And so what I found out is that, in my opinion, the two main constraints to what we economists call the growth potential of a country in South Africa is, on the one hand, the energy system. I mean, this is, I think, no surprise, because South Africans, they have lived through the energy crisis for two decades, and it peaked in the past 3 years. And on the other hand, the labor market, which is also not a surprise because you know the unemployment rate in South Africa, you know the issues that there are for South Africans and specifically some South Africans to find jobs. But the reason why I see this as the main constraint is because these, like energy and labor, these are foundations of economic activity and of human society, basically, as it is now. And so that is why when these drivers are non-functional, not only does it obviously limit your growth potential, but it also makes other types of policy making that you would like kind of use to ignite growth less effective, because it's the foundations, right? And so if the foundations are not functional, you can try, you know, to adopt an expansionary fiscal policy. You can try to adjust your monetary policy to the fluctuations, you know, of the economic cycle. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they are less effective because, you know, you don't have enough energy in the economy and in the society. And, you know, the economy is not creating enough jobs. So there is a cap to the income of South African households, and also by extension, also for South African corporates, because they're not, some corporates are not being able to fill their vacancies correctly because of these distortions.
You mentioned the energy, and it's been a really rough couple of decades. Load shedding in of itself has largely gone, but I mean, Eskom still has challenges. None the least is massive debt, I appreciate, backed by the government. But there's also the risk that if we were to suddenly start growing at, I don't know, 3, 4, 5%, we would run into energy constraints. So in a sense, it's gone, but perhaps investors are not completely convinced.
So load shedding, we can't say that it exactly ended, because officially it's still there. Sure. I mean, they can still implement load shedding. But at least let's say that for now, the situation has stabilized. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that this doesn't mean that, you know, the constraints on the energy sector in South Africa are gone. And that is why, you know, one of the most important aspects for policymaking, I think, in the years to come is to be able to modernize the energy system.
Yeah.
Because obviously what happened, like, we don't have that much time, but without going into all of the intricacies, basically what happened is that the capital, on the one hand, the capital expenditure was insufficient considering just the structure of electricity supply, which is that basically a vast majority of electricity supply is from old coal-fired power stations. And so you need to replace those if you want to sustain, you know, your energy supply into the longer term. So for now, it's just been band-aided. So obviously, there needs to be a step up in capital expenditure. There is more capex that is planned by Eskom. And also, obviously, there is large government support on that side. But it's not only the question of capital expenditure, because there are also issues in price regulation. And that stemmed from 2008. And you can see that even for this year, ultimately, somewhere between 6 to 8% perhaps of electricity tariffs increase. And so that shows that obviously with price increases like this, you're always placing a constraint on demand, especially from consumers, who can also turn to alternative sources of generation. And so in itself, you still have an issue to solve on revenue, right? Because the entire issue is that, yes, you have to ensure supply in order to meet future demand, but you also have to make sure that Eskom is generating enough revenue to invest, but also to be able to be into a better financial position. So Eskom's financial position has improved, but that's mainly thanks to the government support. So now there needs to be a system that enables Eskom to have a stable stream of revenue so that they can invest into the energy structure and indeed modernize it and ensure that if growth ignites, then, you know, the increase in electricity demand does not turn into too much pressure on the system and then it breaks down again, right?
And that's partly it. I mean, Eskom's giving us the base load. I've got the luxury of solar and then I can dip in as I need it. It's much more complex for them. As a country, I mean, we have some of the assets. We've got a diverse industrial base, a strong financial sector, good institutions, coalition government. That all said, the road to decent growth, and to me, decent growth has to be a minimum of 3%. It's going to be slow regardless, even if we get it right.
Yes, it's going to be slow regardless. See, the thing is that, you know, the issues that you have here on the energy system and on the labor market, these long-term kind of trends and the deterioration has been going on for at least two decades, but it's perhaps even more for the energy system. It's perhaps even three decades because it started well in advance. I mean, already in 1998, there were signals that the system was under pressure, right? So it's been a very, very long time. So obviously, if you want to reignite growth, long-term growth, it's going to take some time. Like, you cannot expect fast results because, once again, these are constraints on the fundamentals of the economy, right? So it will take time. It will also take precise policymaking because I firmly believe that, you know, reforms that target the energy system, that target also the transport networks, that also social policies that target the lower levels of income relative to the population, those are kind of the reforms that can add up and reignite growth.
We'll leave it there. So Roni Chanduri, he's economist for Africa, the Coface Group. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.